but thou wilt. Then Brother John made answer, Father, I pray thee, tell me that which I have long desired to know, what thou wast doing and where thou wast when the seraph appeared to thee. And St. Francis replied, I was praying in that place whereon the chapel of St. Simon de Batafali now stands, and I asked two favors of my Lord Jesus Christ. The first was that he would grant to me in my lifetime to feel as far as might be possible, both in my soul and body, all that he had suffered in his most bitter passion. The second favor which I asked was that I might feel in my heart that exceeding love which enkindled his and moved him to endure so great a passion for us sinners. And then God put it into my heart that it was granted to me to feel both, as far as is possible for a mere creature. And this promise was well fulfilled to me by the impression of the stigmata. Then Brother John asked him whether those sacred words spoken to him by the seraph had been truly related by the brother who affirmed that he had heard them from the mouth of St. Francis in the presence of 8 friars. And St. Francis made answer that they were even so as that brother had said. Then Brother John, emboldened to ask by the saint's liberality in granting his request, said thus, O Father, I beseech thee most earnestly that thou wilt suffer to see and kiss thy glorious sacred stigmata. Not that I have any doubt upon that matter, but because such has always been my most earnest desire. And St. Francis graciously showing them to him, Brother John plainly saw and touched and kissed them. Lastly, he said to him, Father, grant me, if it be the will of God, to feel in some small measure the consolation which thou didst experience when thou didst behold our dear Lord come down to thee to give thee the stigmata of his most holy passion. Then St. Francis replied, Dost thou see these nails? Yes, Father, said Brother John. Touch once more, said St. Francis, this nail which is in my hand. Then Brother John, with great fear and reverence, touched that nail, and as he touched it there issued forth from it a perfume, with as it were a little cloud of incense, which, entering the nostrils of Brother John, filled both his soul and body with such overpowering sweetness that he was immediately wrapped in God. And in that ecstasy he remained insensible from that hour, which was the hour of tears, until Vespers. And of that vision and familiar converse with St. Francis, Brother John never spoke to any save to his confessor till the day of his death, but on his deathbed he revealed it to several of the brethren. Chapter 56 of a Holy Friar Who Saw a Wonderful Vision of a Companion Who Was Dead. In the province of Rome, a very devout and holy friar saw this wonderful vision. A brother who was exceedingly beloved by him died one night and was buried in the morning at the entrance of the chapter house. On the same day, the friar withdrew after dinner into a corner of the chapter house and there prayed most fervently to God and St. Francis for the soul of this his beloved companion. And persevering in prayer with many tears till midday, when all the rest lay down to sleep, on a sudden he heard a loud noise in the cloister. Being seized with great terror, he cast his eyes on the grave of his companion, and beheld St. Francis standing at the entrance of the chapter house, and behind him a great multitude of friars surrounding the grave. And looking farther, he saw in the midst of the cloister a great and intense fire burning, and in it the soul of his deceased companion. And looking round the cloister, he beheld our Lord Jesus Christ going round it with a great company of angels and saints. And as he beheld these things in great amazement, he saw that when Christ passed by the chapter house, St. Francis with all those friars knelt down and said to him, I beseech thee, my dearest Lord and Father, by that inestimable charity which thou didst show to the human race in thine incarnation, to have mercy upon the soul of this my brother, which is burning in that fire. Yet Christ answered nothing, but passed on. And returning again the second time and passing by the chapter house, St. Francis knelt down again with his friars and besought him in these words, I beseech thee, most pitiful Father and Lord, by the unbounded charity which thou didst show to the human race when thou didst die for it on the wood of the cross, to have mercy on the soul of this my brother. But Christ again passed by and heeded him not. And going again round the cloister, he passed the third time by the chapter house. And then St. Francis, kneeling down as before, showed him his hands and his feet and his side, saying, I pray thee, merciful Lord and Father, by that great anguish and great consolation which I experienced when thou didst impress these stigmata upon my flesh, to have mercy on the soul of this my brother, which is in the flames of purgatory. Wonderful to tell, Christ being thus besought for the third time by St. Francis, in the name of his stigmata, immediately stood still, and looking upon them, he granted his prayer, saying, I grant to thee, Francis, the soul of thy brother. And hereby, assuredly, he intended to honor and confirm the glorious stigmata of St. Francis, and openly to testify that the souls of his brethren, which go to purgatory, have no easier way of deliverance than by virtue of his stigmata, by which they are freed from pain, and brought to the glory of paradise, according to the words which Christ said to St. Francis, when he imprinted them upon his body. No sooner had our Lord spoken these words than the fire in the cloister vanished, and the dead friar came to St. Francis, and together with him and with Christ, all that blessed company, with their glorious King, ascended into heaven. For which cause the friar, his companion, who had prayed for him, seeing him delivered from suffering and received into paradise, was filled with exceeding joy. And then he related the whole vision in order to the other friars, and altogether they praised and gave thanks to God. Chapter 57. How a noble knight who was devout to St. Francis was assured of his death and of the sacred stigmata. A noble knight of Massa di San Pietro, named Landolf, who was most devout to St. Francis, and had received the habit of the third order from his hand, was thus certified of his death and of the truth of his sacred, holy, and glorious stigmata. When St. Francis lay on his deathbed, the devil entered into a woman of that place and cruelly tormented her, and withal made her to speak with such learning and subtlety that she overcame all the clerks and learned men who came to dispute with her. Now it came to pass that the devil, departing from her, left her free for the space of 2 days, after which he returned again, and afflicted her more cruelly than before. Which, when Landolf heard, he went to the woman and asked the devil which dwelt within her, wherefore he had departed from her for those days, and why he had since returned to torment her worse than before. And the devil answered thus, When I left her, I went with all my companions in these parts, being gathered together in great force, to the deathbed of Francis the beggar, to dispute with him, and carry away his soul. But because it was surrounded and defended by a multitude of angels, far more numerous than we, who carried it straight to heaven, we were forced to retire discomfited. And therefore have I returned to make up to this wretched woman for the peace in which I left her for those days. Then Landolf conjured him in the name of God to tell him what was the truth regarding the holiness of St. Francis, whom he affirmed to be dead, and for St. Clare, who was still alive. And the devil answered him, I must tell thee the truth, whether I will or not. The anger of God the Father was so enkindled against the sins of the world that he was ready to pass sentence upon it, and to destroy all men and women from the face of the earth, unless they would repent. But Christ his Son, praying for sinners, promised to renew his life and passion in the person of a man, namely in St. Francis, a poor mendicant, through whose life and doctrine many throughout the world should be brought back into the way of truth, and many also to penance. And now, to show to the world what he has wrought in St. Francis, he has been pleased that the stigmata of his passion, which he had imprinted on his body during life, should be seen and touched by many since his death. In like manner did the Mother of Christ promise to renew her virginal purity and her humility in the person of a woman, to wit, in St. Clare, that by her example many women might be delivered out of my hands. And the Eternal Father, being appeased by these promises, deferred his final sentence. Then Landolf, wishing to know for certain whether the devil, who is the abode and father of lies, spoke truth in these matters, and especially with regard to the death of St. Francis, sent a faithful servant of his to Assisi, to St. Mary of the Angels to inquire whether St. Francis were alive or dead, whither, when the messenger had arrived, he found that he was indeed dead, and brought certain information to his Lord that St. Francis had passed from this life on the very day and hour of which the devil had spoken. Chapter 58. How Pope Gregory the Ninth, who had doubted of the stigmata of St. Francis, was assured of their truth. Passing over all the miracles of the sacred holy stigmata of St. Francis, it shall suffice in conclusion of this fifth consideration to relate the following. Pope Gregory the Ninth, having some little doubt, as he afterwards related, concerning the wound in the side of St. Francis, the saint one night appeared to him, and raising his right arm a little, discovered to him the wound in his side. He then bade him bring a flask and place it beneath the wound, and when the Pope had done so, he saw it filled to the brim with blood mingled with water, which flowed from the wound, and thereupon all doubt immediately departed from him. After this, with the concurrence of all the cardinals, he approved the sacred holy stigmata of St. Francis by a special bull granted to the friars at Viterbo in the 11th year of his papacy. And in the following year he issued another, with still more copious privileges. Pope Nicholas III and Pope Alexander also confirmed the same with fuller privileges, decreeing that whosoever should deny the sacred holy stigmata might be proceeded against as a heretic. And this shall suffice concerning the fifth consideration of the glorious, holy, and sacred stigmata of our Father St. Francis, whose life may God give us grace to follow in this world, that by virtue of his glorious stigmata we may deserve to be saved with him in paradise, to the praise of Jesus Christ and his poor servant St. Francis. Amen. Here beginneth the life of Brother Juniper. Chapter 1. How Brother Juniper cut off the foot of a pig to give it to a sick brother. One of the most chosen disciples and first companions of St. Francis was Brother Juniper, a man of profound humility and of great fervor and charity, of whom St. Francis once said, when speaking of him to some of his companions, he would be a good friar minor who had overcome the world as perfectly as Brother Juniper. Once when he was visiting a sick brother at St. Mary of the Angels, he said to him, as if all on fire with the charity of God, "Can I do thee any service?" And the sick man answered, "Thou wouldst give me great consolation if thou couldst get me a pig's foot to eat." Brother Juniper answered immediately, "Leave it to me, thou shalt have one at once." So he went and took a knife from the kitchen, and in fervor of spirit went into the forest, where many swine were feeding, and having caught one, he cut off one of its feet and ran off with it, leaving the swine with its foot cut off. And coming back to the convent, he carefully washed the foot and diligently prepared and cooked it. Then he brought it with great charity to the sick man, who ate it with avidity. And Brother Juniper was filled with joy and consolation, and related the history of his assault upon the swine for his diversion. Meanwhile, a swineherd who had seen the brother cut off the foot went and told the tale in order and with great bitterness to his Lord, who, being informed of the fact, came to the convent and abused the friars, calling them hypocrites, deceivers, robbers, and evil men. "Why," said he, "have you cut off the foot of my swine?" At the noise which he made, St. Francis and all the friars came together, and with all humility made excuses for their brother, and, as ignorant of the fact, promised, in order to appease the angry man, to make amends for the wrong which had been done to him. But he was not to be appeased, and left St. Francis with many threats and reproaches, repeating over and over again that they had maliciously cut the foot off his swine, refusing to accept any excuse or promise of repayment, and so departed in great wrath. And as all the other friars wondered, "Can Brother Juniper indeed have done this through indiscreet zeal?" So he sent for him and asked him privately, "Hast thou cut off the foot of a swine in the forest?" To which Father Juniper answered quite joyfully, not as one who had committed a fault, but believing he had done a great act of charity, "It is true, sweet father, that I did cut off that swine's foot, and if thou wilt listen compassionately, I will tell thee the reason. I went out of charity to visit the brother who was sick. And so he related the matter in order, adding, I tell thee, dear father, that this foot did the sick brother so much good, that if I had cut off the feet of 100 swine instead of one, I verily believe that God would have been pleased therewith. To whom St. Francis, in great zeal for justice, and in much bitterness of heart, made answer, O brother Juniper, wherefore hast thou given this great scandal? Not without reason doth this man complain and thus rage against us. Perhaps even now he is going about the city spreading this evil report of us, and with good cause. Therefore I command thee by holy obedience that thou go after him until thou find him, and cast thyself prostrate before him, confessing thy fault and promising to make such full satisfaction that he shall have no more reason to complain of us, for this is indeed a most grievous offense. At these words Brother Juniper was much amazed, wondering that any one should have been angered at so charitable an action, for all temporal things appeared to him of no value, save in so far as they could be charitably applied to the service of our neighbor. So he made answer, Doubt not, Father, but that I shall soon content and satisfy him. And why should there be all this disturbance, seeing that the swine was rather God's than his, and that it furnished the means for an act of charity? And so he went his way, and coming to the man, who was still chafing and past all patience, he told him for what reason he had cut off the pig's foot, and all with such fervor, exultation, and joy, as if he were telling him of some great benefit he had done him, which deserved to be highly rewarded. The man grew more and more furious at his discourse, and loaded him with much abuse, calling him a fantastical fool and a wicked thief. Brother Juniper, who delighted in insults, cared nothing for all this abuse, but marveling that any one should be wrath at what seemed to him only a matter of rejoicing, he thought he had not made himself well understood, and so repeated the story all over again, and then flung himself on the man's neck and embraced him, telling him that all had been done out of charity, and inciting and begging him for the same motive to give the rest of the swine also. And all this with so much charity, simplicity, and humility, that the man's heart was changed within him. And he threw himself at Brother Juniper's feet, acknowledging with many tears the injuries which by word and deed he had done to him and his brethren. Then he went and killed the swine, and having cut it up, he brought it, with many tears and great devotion, to St. Mary of the Angels, and gave it to those holy friars in compensation for the injury he had done them. Then St. Francis, considering the simplicity and patience under adversity of this good brother Juniper, said to his companions and those who stood by, Would to God, my brethren, that I had a forest of such junipers. Chapter 2. An instance of Brother Juniper's great power against the devil. The devils could not endure the purity of Brother Juniper's innocence and his profound humility, as appears in the following example. A certain demoniac one day fled in an unaccustomed manner, and through devious paths, 7 miles from his home. When his parents, who had followed him in great distress of mind, at last overtook him, they asked him why he had fled in this strange way. The demoniac answered, Because that fool Juniper was coming this way. I could not endure his presence, and therefore, rather than wait his coming, I fled away through these woods. And on inquiring into the truth of these words, they found that Brother Juniper had indeed arrived at the time the devil had said. Therefore, when demoniacs were brought to St. Francis to be healed, if the evil spirit did not immediately depart at his command, he was wont to say, Unless thou dost instantly leave this creature, I will bring Brother Juniper to thee. Then the devil, fearing the presence of Brother Juniper, and being unable to endure the virtue and humility of St. Francis, would forthwith depart. Chapter 3. How, by the contrivance of the devil, Brother Juniper was condemned to the gallows. Once upon a time the devil, desiring to terrify Brother Juniper, and to raise up scandal and tribulation against him, betook himself to a most cruel tyrant named Nicholas, who was then at war with the city of Viterbo, and said to him, My Lord, take heed to watch your castle well, for a vile traitor will come here shortly from Biterbo to kill you and set fire to your castle. And by this sign you shall know him. He will come in the